Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Let's bring James Hamm into the conversation. There's a lot to talk with James about today, but we'll start with Keon Ellis-Hammer. Keon started yesterday. It didn't really go well. I know Kyle had said something earlier about how it feels like Keon has to play perfect when he's out there. I don't think he has to play perfect, Hammer, but it feels like Keon makes a lot of really bad mistakes when he's out there, and he did it again yesterday.
Yeah, it just feels like he hasn't eased into the season yet, you know, and we talked about this a little bit earlier on the Insiders. There's just this feel with this team that, you know, so many of the guys can do everything, right? They're do-it-yourself offensive players, and Keon's not, and Keegan isn't. And there's a couple others, you know, again, like Precious Achiuwa isn't that type of player, but it feels like there are so many of the guys that again, like to create for themselves, and the other guys just kind of are getting left out. So I don't know. I think it's difficult to settle into a team that just isn't playing well, mm-hmm. and everyone is trying to do too much and then trying to do too little. And then, you know, it just looks like everything is wrong. And I think it's more or less that he's just caught in the middle of that. Plus, like, let's be honest, like some people deal with a contract year in a good way and others don't. So sometimes a guy will come in trying too hard, trying to put his stamp, trying to show the other, you know, 29 teams in the league of what he can do every single time he goes out there. And it kind of does feel like Keon's just not all that comfortable right now. And, you know, hopefully he gets over that.
It could also be that we, as a Kings fan base and people that follow the Kings on a hourly basis, and those who were chanting at the Golden One Center, like, y'all could have been just putting too much on Keon. Like, not like pressure, but just like, not the savior. Like, he's a good basketball player. He's a player that you want on your team, but he's not going to change your fortunes. Mm-hmm. I don't believe. Mm-hmm. And the reason, because he is kind of flawed. Like, I don't think Keon is playing that much different than he always has. Maybe he's not getting the same amount of shots that he would when he would get extended minutes. You know, maybe that's the difference, but he's always been a physical, handsy defender. That's part of the reason why we like him. Mm-hmm. That also leads to him making fouls. And from time to time being in foul trouble, like, he's doing a lot of the same stuff that he's done that we like about him. But it was just kind of this thought process that like, why aren't you playing Keon? This is great. Like, if you want to win, you play him, and then you play him. And sometimes he gets cooked by Austin Reeves. Sometimes he does a great job at the end of games. Like, it's just, I don't know, Ham. I just don't think he's been that different of a player. And you're seeing some of his highs and his lows as a player.
Yeah, and I would say the same thing about Keegan Murray. Like, when Keegan shows up, it's not like Keegan's going to save the day. I mean, you're a horrible defensive team. One player cannot fix a horrible defensive team. It doesn't matter who that is. Victor Wembanyama can't make the couldn't make the Sacramento Kings a great defensive team. But, you know, there is something that I would point out. Doug Christie talked about this in postgame a couple of games ago when they were at home. He said, you know, like, the other team is just playing physical. And when you play physical, it sets the standard for play that's going to go on during a game, right? And so the officials eventually accept that standard of play. They are okay with that standard of play because that's what you're doing every single time down the court, and it's just they understand it to be your style, right? And he's like, so when one team plays that way and the other doesn't, and the one team that's playing that way keeps getting away with a bunch of stuff, and the other team, you know, makes like a weird grab foul and gets called for touch fouls, it's because the team that's not playing physical, it stands out when they do something that's physical. And I was listening to Doug say this, and it does describe exactly what's happened in Keon Ellis. Like, he's going out there and trying to play the physical style that they did. You remember the back half of the season 2 years ago where the refs just let everybody play? Well, it's like Keon is trying to go out there and play that style, but the rest of his team isn't. And so it stands out, and he's getting foul calls because he's playing too physical or too loose of defense, and the rest of his team isn't. And so, again, it's almost like the balls and strikes things that we talk about all the time. It's all right if, you know, the ump is calling a high strike, as long as you know he's calling the high strike and he doesn't do other things. Well, the Kings, nobody's playing a hard physical style of basketball. So when Keon starts doing it, it's like, what are you doing? And he keeps getting foul calls. So I just think, like, everything seems to be wrong right now with this team. Nothing seems to be flowing. Nothing seems to be going well. And when it does, it means that two or three other people that were having a good season so far aren't going to have a good time for that game. And so this team, they all just take turns either being really good or really bad, but never really good as a team together.
Hammer, you brought up Keegan Murray, and you broke some news on him earlier. What's it look like for Keegan Murray this week?
Yeah, it's all good news. It sounds like he's going to, you know, go practice with the G League team for a second, but then he's going to join the team in Oklahoma City on Wednesday. Whether he plays on Wednesday or not is probably still being debated. But he's been cleared for 5-on-5. He's been cleared for contact, which is why he's going to the G League. There just aren't a bunch of days of practice. Plus, you know, they could throw Keon on a flight. He could get to whatever city they're in and miss the practice already. Mm-hmm. And they want him to go through a practice or two, make sure he's feeling contact, that he knows exactly what's coming, you know, once he steps onto an NBA court, which is people target a bad hand. And they're going to go at him. But he's getting close. There's a hope that he will play on the back end of this road trip before they head home.
Why wouldn't guys like Keegan Murray, and even to a certain degree, like, I understand why this guy wouldn't, but like LeBron, why wouldn't they play a game or two in the G League like they do in baseball or something like that, rehab assignment?
Yeah, I mean, because I think when you go play like at AAA, you're just looking at players that are just such a small margin off of what a Major League Baseball player is. And so, yeah, a guy could lose control of 100-mile-an-hour fastball, but like the opportunity to get injured isn't really there. You go to the G League, and especially early in the season in the G League, there are a bunch of players that they're NBA hopefuls, but they're guys that are never going to make it to the NBA. And you're worried about guys trying too hard, especially against NBA players. But I'm with you, Kenny. Like, not having a true minor league system is a flaw to the NBA. It's a huge flaw to the NFL. Like, you know, the NFL, they go out and they literally sign guys that have been sitting at home for 6 weeks because there isn't a minor league system where they can sit there and stay fresh and keep playing. I would just say that, you know, it's kind of like a summer league game or even like a preseason game where late in the game, those last five guys on the roster are just trying too hard. And sometimes that leads them to injuring somebody. And so that's why I think a lot of teams don't send their star level players down to the G League to go get like a rehab assignment or two, just because you're worried about injuries and stuff.
Hammer, what do you think Doug is going to ask of Keegan Murray when he returns?
Well,
save us.
I mean, that's the bajillion dollar question, right? Like, I don't know. I think initially it's just going to be to space the floor and to play defense and to go get rebounds and to try to help out wherever this team needs help. But eventually you would hope that it's like, hey, you got to give this kid an opportunity to try to become the player that a lot of people think he can be. And that means that you're going to have to clear out some of the people around him or just give him opportunities to play with people that play a different style, that are willing and able to let him be more of a cog on the offensive end. But I don't know if that's going to happen or not. You know, we're gonna have to wait and see, especially, you know, like he tore the ligament in his left thumb and he's left-handed, but he shoots with his right. So it's his non-dominant hand, but it is his dominant hand, if that makes sense. It's not a shooting hand, but it is his dominant hand. So I'm intrigued to see how he moves, how he goes up for a rebound and whether he can hold on to the ball. Cause I do think he's going to be wearing something on his hand for a lot of the season remaining, whether it's like a full fledged brace or, it's tape or whatever. He will have something on that left hand and you're going to have to be cautious with it. So, I don't. We're gonna have to wait and see what he looks like. I mean, it is a long time to be away from the game and not be able to play at all.
You think he's gonna be on minutes restriction for the first week or so? Watch his minutes, make sure they're not doing too much. Or is it typically in the NBA when you're good to go, there ain't no minutes restriction?
It depends on the injury and the player, and also I would say the franchise, right? I don't think he'll be on a minutes restriction at all because, like, look, he's had a bum hand, but he's been able to practice. He's been able to shoot. He's been able to run. He's been able to lift. He's been doing everything a normal player would do except for play 5-on-5 or 3-on-3. He's not going up against people and risking getting that hand hit again. Once he gets into a game, like, look, it's not like there should be some limitation on him. It's going to be realistic. Like, how does he play? And how does he play through the injury? Like, does he drop a bunch of balls out of bounds that are, you know, drop a bunch of rebounds out of bounds? Does he struggle with, you know, getting his hand caught in a crowd and worrying about his hand? You know, is it something where he literally can't go left and use his left hand to attack the rim? We don't know and we won't know until we see it. But for me, you know, like, He's a really good player. We talk about like who's the best player on your team and all that stuff. Like when it comes to all around basketball play on the defensive end and on the offensive end, his ability to be a two-way player makes him one of the most valuable players on this roster. And teams around the league would love to get their hands on Keegan Murray. And it's one of the reasons why the Kings signed him to the contract extension they did. Because not only do they believe that he has a ton of skill, but they also know that teams around the league think that there's more to his game and there's a possibility down the road that he will be a big ticket item that they might use to go get other players down the road. So for me, I really think that, you know, we need to see who Keegan is. This is the year that he was supposed to show us who he is, but so was last year. And you're hoping that, you know, whatever the limitations of the roster and everything else, they don't stop him from elevating and being the player that we hope that he can be.
Do you think there's because of how bad this has all gone, that there's an added element of added amount of pressure on him?
Sure. Like, I think he'll be in the same situation Keon is, you know, where you're out there trying too hard. And again,
well, I don't think so because his bank account is different.
Yeah.
Or it will be.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that you don't feel like you have to live up to that bank account now.
Sure.
You know, so I think there is a balancing act here. And hey, let's be honest, Keegan Murray, like just on his rookie scale deal, is making 11 or 12 million bucks this year anyways. Mm-hmm. He's making a good 9 or 10 million more than Keon Ellis. So Keon has a lot, you know, riding on this. But I also, you know, like when, if you can make it to the NBA, you should have goals beyond that, right? If you're the number four pick in the draft, you should want to be your team's leading scorer. You should want to have aspirations of being an all-star, an all-defensive team player, all that stuff, you know, somehow working your way into being a Hall of Fame player down the road. And I'm not saying any of that's on the table for Keegan, but that doesn't mean that he shouldn't aspire for that. And while he's not very vocal, I do think that he wants big things. He does want to be a really, really good NBA player. And, you know, like opportunities don't come around all the time for you to be that player. So hopefully he does get some of that opportunity here as the season goes on.
Talking a little bit about that game yesterday in San Antonio, we've talked about how Keon and Zach LaVine didn't play at all in the fourth quarter. I know the initial thought is like, hey, they got benched. They weren't playing well. You know, Doug Christie had enough, and he wasn't going to play him. Think about it a little bit more, a little bit more nuanced. Do you think it had more to do with the fact that the group that was out there cut into that lead and got it down to six, and you kind of got into a in-between spot when you talk about substituting somebody in for that group? Or was it what a lot of people think is they weren't playing well, so they didn't get to play?
No, I think it's something different. I think, like, look, when you're watching a team, a group of players start to play well, and they're veteran players. Let's not act like this is a group of young players that you put out there and they clawed back into the game. Now it's time for the vets to come back in. I mean, if Dennis Schroeder is going to find his game, then go ahead and play. If Russell Westbrook is going to go out there and hit some threes and go grab rebounds, then stick with him. You know, Malik Monk is bringing the energy. Stick with him. Like, you can only play so many of the guards that they have on this team, the guards slash forwards, and DeMar DeRozan's out there hitting every shot. Like, DeMontis Sabonis is the best rebounder in the NBA. Like, and you're everything. So, like, who are you going to pull to put in a Zach LaVine or a Keon Ellis if the guards around them are playing extremely well? And, you know, sometimes the decision is to go with the guys that are playing the best that night and that have got you in a position to potentially win a game. Like, I don't know what to say about Zach LaVine because, you know, Zach LaVine was sitting on 4 points forever. Didn't take any shots, sitting on 4 points. And remember, he had the 4-point play from the corner when he got fouled on the three. Mm-hmm. He doubled his point total and went to 8. And that was it. Like, man, if you're going to be out there, like, be active. And a lot of the problems this team has is just they, even when they shared the ball, it's almost like an intentional sharing of the ball. Like, see, I gave it to you that time. You know, it's a very, very selfish team on the court, and they're really struggling with that. And, you know, the passive players, the guys like Keegan, the guys like Zach can be passive. They're the ones who are going to lose when you got players on this team that are selfish, that are, you know, definitely very driven by their numbers and very driven by, you know, scoring and doing the things that they've done their entire career. And that's part of the issue with this team. And it was always going to be this way. They just have a massive imbalance. And it's not just a massive imbalance of, you know, tall people versus small people, which they have that issue. It's an imbalance of styles of play where you have a lot of players who have spent their entire career scoring a bunch of baskets. And they, you know, sure, they do other things sometimes, but really it's who they are. And we saw it last night where Russell Westbrook started passing guys on the all-time list, the all-time scoring list. He gets up to like number 17 or 18 last night. DeMar DeRozan, same thing. He's trying to get into the top 20 here before his career is over. And you're watching these things play out. But what it looks like is guys who want to get their points and their rebounds and their buckets. And it's not really conducive to winning. And that's why we see the Kings struggling so much. They're still just a collection of scorers. They are not a team, a basketball team at all at this point.
I don't disagree with they're not a team. I don't know. I remember that three-pointer from Zach LaVine, though, the four-point play, because my stupid ass thought, okay, all right, this was a, there you go. Let's get something here. Nothing happened. For those that didn't see the game, absolutely nothing happened. They scored 4 points and then gave up eight. It's just, that was the
real
that was the flow of the game. Yeah, very, very quick. Malik's playing. Malik got back to scoring. It's hard to say he played great yesterday. But one thing we've seen over the last couple of games, Hammer, is Dennis Schroeder. Doug Christie made that switch on going into Friday's game, I think it was, putting Russell Westbrook into the starting lineup as the Sacramento Kings starting point guard. We've seen Dennis Schroeder go to the bench, and we've seen him have two good games since that move. What do you attribute that to, or what can we attribute that to?
You know, I think it's probably a combination of things. Number one, the whole 1-for-19 stretch over the three games before this two-game stretch, he just looked lost. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know, you know, where to go. Again, this isn't a team that is flowing at all. There is no like offensive flow at all. And whatever defensive flow, it's like, hey, Dennis, pick that guy up, and we're just going to hang out back here. I think that when he went to the bench, he's able to look at the game, each and individual game as it's playing out, and figure out how he fits into what's going on. And that's something that, you know, good bench players can do. And I've always said the value to Dennis Schroeder is the fact that he can play off the bench. He can start, you know, he's done everything in his career, but realistically he's about 50-50, whether he's a starter or a bench player. So when you're sitting there watching everything unfold, you can go, oh, I think I can take advantage of that spot right there. Or I think I can do this. I think I can help the team in this way. When you're with the starters, it's kind of like the same thing that Keegan has gone through. Like a lot of times when you're the starting rotation with this team, you're out there with four other like top tier scorers. And so you're the fifth option. And I feel like Dennis has kind of been lost in like, what option am I? And, you know, when Precious is out there, clearly he's the fifth option. But like, are you the second option? Are you the third option? Are you the fourth option? And, you know, a lot of times having defined roles for players is really helpful. And when he's coming off the bench, that's his team off the bench. And, you know, Malik Monk is being asked to not be the distributor that he has been in the past. He's been asked to be an off-ball shooter, and he's done a really good job at that so far this season. His assist numbers are down, and I think it's kind of like not using some of the superpowers that Malik has as far as like a pick and roll player. But again, there's only so many bounces of the ball on every possession, and this team has a lot of guys who feel like they need to be the one bouncing the ball.
Is it just as simple as he started making shots? Do you feel like the looks are different off the bench and in the situation, or did he just get more comfortable and got the same looks? This time they're just going down.
I don't know if it's just as simple as the ball's dropping, you know, that he's hitting shots. I mean, that's helping for sure, but there's a different confidence to him when he's shooting those shots. And so it's sort of like the chicken or the egg. Like, you're not quite sure what it is that's the problem. But he definitely is shooting the ball with a lot of confidence from the perimeter. But he also was shooting the ball with quite a bit of confidence before. He just wasn't hitting anything. And so I felt like he got a little gun shy. So maybe you're right there. Maybe that is kind of what's happening. The ball is falling. But I also just feel like he's playing the game. He looks like he's just out there like in the flow and trying to be a good basketball player, where before it kind of felt like he was trying to pick his spots, and a lot of times picking his spots were like some really bad shots. You just look at like, what are you doing there, you know? And it was almost like you could see him like, oh, I better score, and that wasn't, you know, conducive to winning either. So I don't know, I do feel like it's a lot about finding a role. And the Kings right now, they don't feel like they have a bunch of players who understand what their roles are or play to a role. And it's kind of a free for all.
Well, I know what James's role is, and it is the top insider in the game. So we'll come back and we'll talk with our Kings insider from the insiders, James Hamm, here. More with D'Lo and KC on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed-sponsored jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed-sponsored jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Just get right back into the conversation because it certainly didn't stop during the commercial break. Hammer, you were just talking about the playmakers or perhaps lack thereof on the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about this a couple of years ago, you know, they lost Kevin Huerter and Malik Monk right at the end of the season. And they walked into the playoffs or the play-in not having enough playmaking at all. And, you know, the original Beam team, you know, again, Malik Monk got hurt right before the playoffs. And you didn't have that secondary playmaker. Now it feels like this team has, like, way too many guys who are playmaker extraordinaires. And, you know, I think that's, you know, that was part of the apprehension with going out and getting Russ. But it's also, you got Dennis Schroeder and you have Malik Monk and, you know, you've got DeMar who doesn't really play make for others, but you know, he likes to, his usage is high. He likes to dribble the ball and do what he does. And then you have Domas. Like it just feels like a whole bunch of people who are, it's not just taking turns, taking shots. It's taking turns like with the ball in their hands. And so there isn't a pecking order, it feels like, with who should be the guy. And that's where, like, again, I think Dennis is finding a lot of success off the bench, because with that second unit, they're kind of giving him like carte blanche and saying, go ahead and do whatever it is you do. And then the same thing with Russell Westbrook in the starting lineup, like, go ahead and be who you are. That's fine. But it does feel like, you know, that whole thing where in the final 8 seconds of the shot clock, that's when you get it to the guy who's supposed to go create and get a bucket, right? And I don't know who that is on this team. I think they all feel like it's them. I think Zach feels like it's him. I think Dennis and you know, Russ and DeMar, they all feel like it's them in that moment. And that's where we're kind of having this problem with, you know, not only that, but the spacing issue is always going to be a problem too. Because while these guys are great playmakers, none of them are, you know, above average 3-point shooters outside of, you know, for their career outside of Zach and Keon, but Keon's not one of these guys who's handling the ball a whole bunch. So when you don't have the playmaker, when you don't have the floor spacers, it becomes really difficult to play make. Like just the floor, there's nowhere to run, there's nowhere to go. And so you need to have better screens and all that stuff. And again, the Kings are super undersized at every position. So that becomes an issue as well.
James, we kind of went through this hypothetical earlier today about the Kings, number one, their record, the feeling people have for them. Do you feel how I should ask you a question? How much do you feel the schedule plays into their record? And what I mean by that is, are they just a sorry, sorry team that it doesn't matter what the schedule is, that's what their record would be? Or the fact that they've played, it's going to be Oklahoma City 3 times, Denver twice,
Minnesota
twice. Like they've played the top of the top throughout at least the Western Conference so far this year. How much of a role does that play into what their record is, in your opinion?
I think it plays a huge role, and I don't want to use it as an excuse for this team, but let's say that they had this schedule where they got to play the Kings, they got to play the Clippers, and then they had to play the Nuggets, but then Jazz, Grizzly, Jazz, Spurs, Warriors, Clippers, Pelicans, Mavs, Indiana, Hawks, Trailblazers, and you're looking at that schedule, Minnesota again, Spurs again, Rockets, but then like the front half of that schedule, that's the Sun schedule, which is the easiest schedule in the NBA so far as like strength of schedule. So when we look at the Suns' wins, you know, everyone's talking about them. Oh, they've got 8 wins. Their wins are against the Kings, the Jazz, the Spurs, but then the Clippers twice, and the Clippers are horrible. The Pelicans, the Mavs, who are bad, and the Pacers, who are the worst team in basketball. So that's what their schedule looks like versus what the Kings' schedule looks like. I think one of the problems that the Kings have is that when things start to go wrong, you lose a key player. They've had a bunch of little ticky-tack injuries throughout the season, so like very rarely do they have their entire roster. But even when they do, you have no way to build momentum when the next game is against OKC or the next game is against Minnesota. And it's like there are no soft spots in the schedule so far for the Kings outside of the first 4 games, which we talked about when it was happening. And I said, man, they really need to go 3-1. They really need to go 4-0, but 3-1 at a minimum. And then they didn't, right? To open the season, they went 1-3. Like those were the easiest games of the schedule. The Suns aren't really that good of a team if you really break it down. I still believe that. The Lakers without Luka, without LeBron, aren't that good of a team. But then once you get past that, like how are you supposed to take a breath and actually bounce back when you play OKC one night and then a game that might be against a lesser opponent the next night is against the Bulls, but it's a back-to-back. And then one night against Minnesota, the next night against Atlanta. So even the two teams that you can look at and go, okay, they're not great teams, they're solid teams, but they're not great teams. Like it's always on the second night of a back-to-back. So I don't know when you're supposed to, like, if things were going well, they probably could have, you know, got the ball rolling and picked up a couple more wins here. But when things go bad and it just feels like the weight of the world is on you, it really kind of snowballs and gets out of control. And that's why I think, you know, you're looking at the schedule and you're like, man, is this team going to win again until they get to Memphis? And then are they, after that, are they going to win again until maybe they get to game 18, 19, 20? That's really tough because you're looking at the whole time as a player going, man, we have a legitimate shot of going 5-15 to start the season or 4-15 in the first 19 games. That doesn't feel good. And it feels like the schedule is just another gigantic like wet blanket on this team because it's not like they can get up off the deck. as soon as they do, someone else is ready to knock him down and hit him in the face. And that's just a tough place to be in when you're a team who hasn't really found your rhythm and found who you are or flow as a team.
I'm with Hammer. I don't know when this team is winning again. You brought up Memphis. I'm not sold.
Even with Jaw?
I have. I mean, I guess we haven't touched on that. Jaw's out. I love that. Did you notice that the new thing in these tweets is to say, John Morant will be reevaluated in 2 to 3 weeks with a ankle, like whatever it is. They're not saying they're out. They'll just say that they're reevaluating in 2 to 3 weeks. I've noticed that in some of Shams' recent tweets, and I don't know what the catalyst to that is. But
being more accurate.
Point being,
you say somebody will be back in 4 weeks, yeah. And then they're not.
Yeah. Point being, I have no clue when this team's going to win another basketball game. I'm not sold on Memphis. I mean, certainly, you know, Wednesday, Oklahoma City, that's the second night of a back-to-back against Memphis. You know, I know that they've got their own issues going on. I don't know, man. I don't know that they can kick out of this. Like, just like to keep a pulse. I'm ready to call Dexter, man. Just end this thing.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, yeah, because even when they do get to a lighter spot in the schedule, by that point, are they just too beaten down? And have they not gone through the process of learning how to win and learning who's doing what? Because this whole entire front half of the schedule just feels like desperation is set in. And in every game, it doesn't matter what, you know, the final score is, you feel that desperation sink in, like in the third quarter or in the early fourth quarter of every game. You're like, uh-oh, there it is. I see it. Oh, they feel like things are going wrong, and now they're you know, pressing, and then that's how things get even worse. So yeah, I don't know. Like, again, once a soft spot in the schedule comes, are they going to be too damaged by that point to even get through a soft spot in the schedule and pick up a bunch of wins to try to get themselves back in the right, you know, frame of mind? And that, and then the other thing is, I mentioned this earlier, like, if you notice, like, Kings fans want to talk about playoffs, they want it, or the play-in, and you know, we've heard it for so many years here. Oh, that's the goal. Last year, DeMar DeRozan joins the team, and he thought that they could make the Western Conference Finals, right? That was the big thing to open last season. They're not talking about playoffs, and they have not talked about playoffs. And to be honest with you, Scott Perry has not set the bar at, like, this is about playoffs. This is about building a culture. It's about finding the right people. It's about cleaning up whatever was going on that was wrong here, about filtering out a bunch of the nonsense and setting a new standard for this franchise moving forward. And the words playoffs have not been a big part of any discussion, even coming into the season before they got off to this bad start. I do think that the focus here from Kings fans is because you get a little taste of the good life with the original Bean team, and you're like, okay, like, we're ready. We're finally going to get back into the playoffs and be part of this thing and have a good time for 6 or 7 years. And that just ended. It's over. It, you know, that the vibes of that, that season, they're gone. And so now it's about, like, trying to figure out a way out of the mess you're in. And, you know, again, people in the chat, like, throwing blame at Monty McNair, or, you know, you want to throw blame at Mike Brown, or you want to throw blame at Vivek, or you want to throw blame at Scott Perry for not adjusting the roster, Doug Christie for not making enough adjustments. This thing is well beyond just one person and where you can place blame. There's certainly a pathway where we can see that unwound, but that's because we have hindsight. You know, like, hindsight is always 20/20. We can look back and say, yeah, probably one of the biggest mistakes they made was signing DeMar DeRozan and not bringing in more of a shooter, more of a defensive player at that position. And then, you know, that started to lead to the team not playing well, not because DeMar's a bad player, but because the fit was bad. And then all of a sudden you have the Mike Brown situation, you have the De'Aaron Fox situation. This thing spins out of control so quickly. But that's where I'm kind of at. Like, I don't think that like, any one person is to blame outside of the fact that the same owner has been in place for like 12 or 13 years now. And it feels like we get to this point every like 3 years where you have to scrap everything and start over.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
James, do you think that, just your opinion once again, you think this team is tough enough to kick out of what they've had to deal with so far this year and like get to respectability? Not, once again, not all be top six and all this other stuff. Get your head back above water. Can you get a little close? You can get 2-3 games under 500 and, you know, and talk about playing. Do you think they've got it in them to do that from what you've seen from them so far?
I'm going to say no, and it's for a specific reason. I think that, you know, anyone can look at the schedule and realize that the final 25 games of the season are like the easiest games the Kings are going to play, right? But I don't think that the Kings want to get to the phase where they're just trying to win as many games as possible to make the play-in at the very end of the season and try to dig out of some monster hole. I think that this is an opportunity for Scott Perry to push the button and say, we have to rebuild now. We have got to flush whatever we can of our monstrous contracts out of the way and start anew. And that's where I'm kind of looking at this as, you know, like if you're winning, or let's say you're floating, you know, maybe 5 games under 500 at the All-Star break, this franchise could easily talk themselves into the final 25 games as like a ramp up to the playoffs, where I, at this point, I don't think you can. I mean, you're 3-11. Is that what they are now?
Yeah, but the top half of the Western Conference is really good. That bottom half, though.
A little suspect.
It's a little rocky. Like, I mean, we talked about Memphis a minute ago, everything that they're dealing with. Now you got the Ja injury on top of that. Of course, we saw an Atlanta team play better when their star player went out. So who knows what's ahead for Memphis. You've got a Clippers team that, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know. You decide. Like, they appear to be an absolute disaster. You've got the Mavericks down here. They fired their general manager, the New Orleans Pelicans. They fired their head coach. The Utah Jazz are lingering around this conversation. God knows what they're even attempting to accomplish this year. Portland and Phoenix aren't in they're in that same vicinity as well. It's not crazy. Like, I don't know. You pull together a couple of games, rally the troops. Like, it really isn't that crazy. It's just a dumb conversation to have today.
Yeah, when they've lost six in a row.
Right. It is a dumbass conversation today. But when you look at the state of that bottom part of the Western Conference, it's like, because Dallas is going to get its ass kicked by Oklahoma City, Denver, Houston, you know, all of all of those teams up there. You got LeBron James getting ready to return to the Los Angeles Lakers. Who knows what that's going to look like? You got, you know, this situation now with Wemby out for the next couple of weeks. Like, there's just so many different things at play where it's like, yeah, this is it's a little crazy there at the bottom of the West.
Yeah, and I think that's why you can always talk yourself into it, but I don't think that's the route they're going to go. Like, I think they would like to win more games. They'd like to feel more comfortable because, like, building a culture while you're losing is nearly impossible. But, you know, like, we're sitting here talking about the Memphis game. Like, again, it's an easy one on the schedule. And again, they play the Oklahoma City Thunder the night before they play the Memphis Grizzlies. Like, there is no easy spot in the first 18 games of this schedule, 19 games. And that's just, like, the brutal reality. And I expect, like, what we talked about earlier, like, the Phoenix Suns have had the easiest schedule in the NBA. Their win percentage against is, like, a 420 win percentage, where the Kings is, like, a 595. Like, it's just the imbalance. But after we get through, like, tomorrow night's game and then the Memphis game and then, like, maybe the Minnesota game, the Kings will have the easiest schedule the rest of the way in the NBA. Like, the schedule flips completely. Strength to schedule-wise, they will have the easiest schedule to go. And that's where you can talk yourself into, okay, well, maybe we can make a run. Because it's not the final 25 games. We're talking the final 60 that you have the easiest schedule. And so maybe they do have that idea that they can make a run. And, oh, maybe if Keegan can be that guy that can really help us, maybe it can change some things. But I think they're pretty committed to moving players. And, you know, again, I don't know if it's going to happen after December 15th. I don't know if it's going to happen in January. If there were a deal to be had today that what they think would make them better, they would absolutely make that deal. And making them better might not mean winning more games today. Making them better might mean that they get a draft pick that can help them down the road. It could mean that they free themselves of the final year or two of somebody's contract. Like, there are a lot of ways to get better, whether it's financially, whether it's, you know, draft capital. It's not always going to be, I know this is going to kill Kenny, it's not always going to be about wins on the court, because sometimes that's not the best way to get better for a team like the Kings, who are looking at, you know, purgatory and trying to find a way out of it.
Well, no, I completely understand that. That leads to another question that I asked these guys earlier as well, James. Would you... And I think we all three of us said no, but I thought about it maybe for the longest. Would you attach a first-round pick to get rid of LaVine or Sabonis' contract? And when I say a first-round pick, it doesn't have to be your own. If they took the San Antonio one in 2 years and accepted that in a deal to move on from Zach LaVine, that's what made me think about it. I don't think I would either, but... Man, Zach's not even the worst of it, I don't think, because you got, what, 3 years left to Sabonis?
Mm-hmm. This year, two more.
And Keegan's contract. But, like, that's another – your cap is starting to be an issue too.
Well, I think the problem is you can't have a couple of those guys, right? And as soon as DeMar falls off the books, Keegan steps right up into DeMar DeRozan range plus. You know, that's kind of the way his contract is built. Yeah, I mean, like, look, I don't know what the easiest pathway here is forward, but I don't see them attaching a pick, whether it's their own or it's someone else's, because, like, how much we all love Wemby, he once again has a calf injury that's going to sideline him for, I don't know, 2 to 4 weeks. And then, you know, what does that Spurs team look like? We're still waiting for the moment where that they look like they can be really good, but they could also hit a hard patch in their schedule and lose a ton of games. And I'm not moving off of a 2027 pick from the Spurs when they truly haven't arrived yet. That could, I mean, I think worst case scenario, that's going to be like pick number 18. Best case scenario, that could be a top 10 pick. You know, you were just waiting to see what that Spurs team is. And so I'm not sure that I would give up a pick, because you remember at the beginning of this, like while they're dealing with the Kuminga situation, you guys were on board with giving up a potential first round, 2026 first round pick. And it was like, no. I would not even remotely close to give up next year's pick, because this could easily be the top pick in the draft. Like, this team is that bad. I mean, if they're
that conversation feels a little different today. I can't lie.
It does. As bad as they are, they're like,
good thing they don't listen to us. Like that. Yeah.
There's teams that are not catching Brooklyn.
Yeah, but if they're
Brooklyn,
the sixth,
I think they've already caught
team.
Brooklyn. They're not catching Indiana.
Indiana.
They're a whole two games better than Indiana.
They're going to mess around and get the first pick. It's crazy. Indiana.
Well, no, but if you're the sixth pick in the lottery, you easily are in line to win the lottery.
And am I crazy to think Indiana's probably ecstatic? They're probably like, this is fine.
Well, we got Halliburton coming back.
We weren't winning the title this year anyways.
Yeah.
So who cares about making the playoffs?
Colts are distracting us anyway.
That's right.
Well, that and also gives you like time to see if Aaron Nesmith has more, Benedict Mathurin has more. You know, some of those young players, because they have other young players that are good, and you're trying to see if they can prove up. And then when you get Halliburton back and he's the orchestrator, like, what does that team look like? They still have to find a way to replace Miles Turner, but
Nesmith,
not bad.
Hurt the other night. That was a tough little knee injury.
Can I? We got to do two things. We're going to be at Sky River Casino tonight, man. We would love to see you. 32 Bruce Street, Monday Night Football, just over an hour from now. Raiders, Cowboys. Stanley's already hit us up. He said he's coming to hang out. We'd love to see you there as well. If you have any non-perishable foods that you could bring for our Thanksgiving food drive, that would be awesome. You'll have no trouble getting into the casino with it. We'll have a donation bin that you could drop everything off right there. You don't have to carry it around with you or anything like that. It's 32 Bruce Street. It's tonight. As a matter of fact, we're wrapping things up right now. We're headed straight out to Elk Grove to our favorite spot, man. 32 Bruce Street, Sky River Casino. Also, would you mind if I read TC's message from the Chatty House verbatim?
Yeah.
Here is TC's message.
Okay.
I'm reading this as it is written, so bear with me. Y'all crazy. I'm attaching go first round pick to Zach isn't the point of it all, to move off the money and get the guys out of the building so we can move on with the bigger picture. That's our man TC right there. He cooking in the Chatty House. You could be a part of the Chatty House too over on youtube.com/ESPN1320 or twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Just a quick check in. Yep, there's Jesse right there. Just wanted to make sure Jesse was there. And remember, if anything happens, if anyone cusses, just press the red button.
Hit the red button.
All right, man. We'll be back here tomorrow at 10 a.m., beginning with the Insiders. Hope to see you tonight, Monday Night Football. Raiders, Cowboys, 32 Bruce Street, inside Sky River Casino with D'Lo and Casey on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos, red button.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
on the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over a million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.